Narayana namaste cha narun cevam narotamam devim saraswati vyasam tato jayam vadirayat nashta prayeshwa padresu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavata tamasloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki om namo bhagavate vasudevaya om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jai Hare Krishna. So, this morning class is from Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 2, Chapter 7, Text 50. Soyam te bivitastatam Bhagavan Vishwa Bhavana Samasena Hare Nanyad Anyasmat Sad Asachchayad Soyam te bivitastatam Bhagavan Vishwa Bhavana Samasena Hare Nanyat Anyasmat Sad Asachchayat So Yam Te Bivitastatam Bhagavan Vishwa Bhavana Samasena Hare Nanyat Anyasmat Sad Asachchayat Hare Krishna. Okay, so we'll do word for word. Sa, that, I am the same, te, unto you, abhihi, ta, explain by me, tata, my dear son, Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead, Vishwabhavana, the creator of the manifested worlds, samasena, in brief, Hare, without Hari, the Lord. Na, never, and yet anything, anything else. Anyasmat, being the cause of. Sat, manifested or phenomenal. Asat, nominal. Cha, and. Yat, whatever they may be. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. My dear son, I have now explained in brief the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is creator of the manifested worlds. Without Him, Hari, the Lord, there are no other causes of the phenomenal and nominal existences. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Since we generally have the experience of the temporary material world and conditioned souls trying to lord it over the material world, Brahmaji explained to Narada Dev that this temporary world is a work of the external potency of the Lord, and that the conditioned souls struggling here for existence are the marginal potency of the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead. There is no cause for all these phenomenal activities but Him, Hari, the Supreme Lord, who is the primeval cause of all causes. This does not mean, however, that the Lord Himself is distributed impersonally. He is aloof from all these interactions of the external and marginal potencies. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 4, it is confirmed that by His potencies alone, He is present everywhere and anywhere. Everything that is manifested rests on His potency only, but He, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is always aloof from everything. The potency and the potent are simultaneously one and different from one another. One should not deprecate the Supreme Lord for the creation of this miserable world, just as one should not blame the king for creating a prison house in the government. A prison house is a necessary institution of the governmental establishment for those who are disobedient to the laws of the government. Similarly, this material world full of miseries is a temporary creation of the Lord for those who have forgotten Him and are trying to lord it over the false manifestation. However, He is always anxious to get the fallen souls back home, back to Godhead. And for this, He has given so many chances to the conditioned souls via the authoritative scriptures, His representative, and personal incarnations also. Since He has no direct attachment to this material world, He is not to be blamed for its creation. Om Agnati Mirandasya Gyana Gyana Shalakaya Chakshu Ambilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadanti Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Kapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupa Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Siddhivam Sadvaitam Sabadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakambitam Shcha E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Shabanu Sute Devi Paramani Hari Priya Vancha Kalpati Rubhyascha Kripa Sindhuve Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Subhashari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishnaya Bhutane Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namne Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarini Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, the translation again. My dear son, I have now explained in brief the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the creator of the manifested world. Without Him, Hari, the Lord, there are no other causes of the phenomenal and nominal existences. Hare Krishna. So, Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport who's actually speaking. It's actually Lord Brahma that is explaining the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to Narada Muni. So, Narada is in fact the son of Lord Brahma, as many other very highly distinguished personalities came as sons of Lord Brahma. So, there's so much that about the Lord. Of course, the Lord is so unlimited, we can't literally say forever. We can't say the Lord's qualities, it will take forever. And it says Ananta says so many mouths, he can't even explain the whole situation with the Lord's and Lord's potencies. Everything about the Lord is unlimited. But Lord Brahma puts it succinctly in one sentence. Without Him, Hari, the Lord, there are no other causes for the phenomenal and nominal existences. You go into a little bit of definitions from the dictionary, or these days we go to Google and get definitions from it. Phenomenal and nominal existences. So, they have interesting definitions. Nominal and phenomenal. Well, I will first talk about what the dictionary says, and then we'll bring it into a spiritual terms. The dictionary says, the first world is called the nominal world. And it's the world of things outside of us.
Mm-hmm.
The world of things as they really are.
Mm-hmm.
The world of trees, dogs, cars, houses, and fluff that are really real.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little bit of assumption here on the sides, you know. But there's one of those philosophers that says, our minds are created in such a way that we cannot comprehend this world as it really is. Instead, what we perceive is like an altered version of this world, and that is called the phenomenal world. So to bring it back to spiritual terms, especially the way Srila Prabhupada has explained things to us, basically, the nominal world, the closest description of it is the spiritual world. And the phenomenal world is the material world. It's all they're really saying. But there's even a diagram that they put on Google to explain things here. Nominal world, not knowable. Of course, knowable by us. And it's the real world. So that fits the spiritual world. And then the phenomenal world is what we perceive as the world we're in. And Srila Prabhupada has made it simple. The charges have also made it simple. Srila Prabhupada has quoted from them in so many ways he's described this, that this world we're in is a perverted reflection of the real. The world we're in is a perverted reflection of the real. The easiest way to see is, to see this, is our own shadow, or the shadow of anything. When we walk, the shadow walks. When we move our hands, the shadow's hand moves. We move our legs, the shadow's legs move. So it seems like the shadow is active. Because what we do, we're doing. But is the shadow real? The shadow doesn't have a single organ in it. The shadow is actually darkness. Never mind, it doesn't even have light. It's just darkness. But it has so many things that it can do. When we do. So if we are the real, then the shadow is a reflection, but it's perverted in the fact that it's just dark. There's nothing in it. Nothing. But it can act like we can do. So that's the phenomenal world we're in, the material world. So of course, the people that gave the definition in the dictionary, they're not Krishna conscious. Therefore, they tried as best with the assumptions to really give a definition that if they knew the spiritual world, let's put it that way, they could have defined it better, what the nominal world is. But they don't know. And so they tried to kind of imagine things, a little bit of speculation. But actually, with the explanation given by Lord Brahma, it means the nominal existence is a spiritual existence, a phenomenal existence is a material existence. So, Srila Prabhupada says we generally have the experience of the material world. And conditioned souls trying to lord it over the material world and actually suffering in the process. Namai Bhamsa Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. We are all parts and parcels, small parts and parcels of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Manashastani Indriyani Prakatishtani Kashati. That's the problem. We're trying to manage things on our own and we're struggling. The six senses, which includes the mind. So, you know, Krishna just says it directly in Bhagavad Gita. So, why this world is a world of struggle? It's actually set up that way. And it takes a while for people to really understand that the world we're living in, we're actually living in a suffering condition. See, there is confusion about suffering situation and stable conditions, temporary stable conditions. What we have in the material world, especially for those of us living in the so-called advanced countries that have used science and technology to produce so many things for convenience, they've tried to make life a little more stable, but it's still temporary because anything can happen to ruin anything that's been set up. There can be crashes of vehicles, car crash, train crash, plane crash, although those things, when they are working, they make it possible for us to live our material lives. But anything can happen at any time. And so, using the things in the material world and coming up with different products based on what material nature supplies, we have built ourselves a situation that is, to some extent, stable. But it's only stable for a little while. And then it can fall apart. And so, that's not a situation of happiness. We shouldn't confuse temporary stability with happiness. Srila Prabhupada used the words, we're just trying to manage and make things convenient for us. That's all. This life in the material world. And as Kali Yuga progresses, the situation is people are cheating and others are being cheated. The world of the cheaters and the cheated. And if it goes on now, it's got to the point where things are kept in secret. We're being cheated, but at the same time, the real deal is being kept from us, so we don't really know what's going on. And if you don't know what's going on, you can't protest much. Although, of course, the Lord is always in the heart, and Paramatma always prompts, there is something wrong, there is something wrong. So even though people don't know what it is that's wrong, they know there is something wrong. The major thing that's wrong is this phenomenal existence that we're in. The major thing that's wrong is the fact that we're not home. And we have these physical bodies, and everything that science is trying to do is just trying to give the best situation that can happen to us with these physical bodies. Nothing is done for the soul. So that's why we're so grateful to Srila Prabhupada for what he's provided in this Kali Yuga for our souls. So, as he explains, says Brahma is explained to Narada, that this world is the work of the external potency, Bahiranga Shakti of the Lord. And we, as conditioned souls, trying to exist here, we're using the marginal potency, given the choice of going to the internal or the external potency of the Lord. Choosing the external or the internal. Choosing external gives us more problems, and choosing the internal brings us to better realizations, and then from there we begin to see things as they are. But Narada is explaining that this is all from the Lord. In fact, the one statement that covers it all is, no Krishna, no existence of anything. If there is no Krishna, no existence of anything. Krishna is the source of, the word existence is used because of Krishna. Without Krishna, you can't even use the word exist. And break it down into its different subcategories, living, and then of course the different entities. But he is the cause of all causes. But at the same time, for the material world, it's a suffering condition. Because it's a suffering condition, the Lord is not part of it. He's aloof from these interactions. And Srila Prabhupada makes the point that we should not be disapproving or express disapproval of the Supreme Lord because he's created this miserable world. Just as one should not blame the king for creating a prison house. The reason the prison house is there is not because of the king. It's there because there are those who will disobey the laws of the government. And they're those, these times still the majority, that obey the laws of the government to a large extent. And those who are very disobedient, they can cause problems to the rest of the people. And therefore they have to be taken out and put away. And there's a place that they have to be put. Therefore, there's a place that has to be constructed for that purpose. And that's why the jails are there. So in the same way, Srila Prabhupada explains that the material world is the big, big, big expression of the Lord's jail for those who are wanting to do their own thing. They want to be in control. But you can't be in control of the spiritual world. The Lord is the controller of both material and spiritual, but He allows those who want to control to have some say in the material world. And then at the same time, when they come to their senses, they'll find out that we are under the grips of a material nature. It is very interesting how many people have accepted this life as the stable one to live and even being happy in it, when in fact it is an absolutely, absolutely suffering condition. And it takes listening to the Prabhupada says in so many ways. And finally he too said, I'm living no matter where I turn, what country I'm in. And now we understand what planet we're in the spiritual world. I mean, in this material world. Whatever planet we're in, there's only sense gratification, but the miseries, they continue everywhere. But people just have wool just over their eyes, because especially when we take this country that we're living in, there is so much that's made available. I was just listening about an hour or so ago to a class being given by Chandamaya Swami, and he was making the point that people just, they're coming up, and we're being deceived in one sense, because new things are put out. And we're always told the new is better. But is that really true? No, it is not. It may be convenient in one way, but it also causes a problem in another way. Every one of the new things that come out, but they say new. Many things that when we drive our cars, we can do with our own hands and legs. Now, it's being done remotely, done by computer. Is it really necessary? The answer is no. But it's convenient. And they sit back and the computer does everything that we used to be able to do. It's just done. Or we just push a button and everything gets done for us. But in the meantime, the way those things have been constructed, if we went into the science and engineering of it, we'll find out that we're actually suffering. But it's not obvious to people that we're suffering. When so many things are done without even us having a part to do with it. And I'll just give one example. I gave the temple, we have a temple vehicle, we had to go in for some repair and some maintenance. So they gave a car, a loaner car, for that day, for me to drive. Of course, this is a dealership, they will give the most recent car, they won't give me an old car. So, we figured out, so many things have changed in terms of even how you put it in drive and everything is changed on there. So we figured it out a little bit. And then we kept going. And I'm looking at so many things. You cross the line, the tire comes in the highway to the division lines for the lanes. Even if you hit on it, there's something that will prompt and tell you that, oh, you've gone a little bit, you're getting off. What are these things? Well, they use radiation to sense what's going on and then they tell you. But what's radiation? Is it good for our bodies? No. So we have the convenience, but at the same time, radiation is killing us. I had an office. I'll give one more example, then we come to this. An office, a new building that was constructed at the time that I was teaching. I hadn't retired yet. I was teaching at Penn State. This is chemistry. New building for chemistry. And the offices for the professors. So I have my office. And what happens in the office is, if you sit in there still, mean still, the light will shut off. The light will actually turn off. Why did they put it in? The university said it's saving money because people who leave the office and forget to turn the lights off, when you leave the office and lock it, nobody's there. And there's a sensor after a while of a number of minutes, sense no movement, then the sensor shuts the light off. So if I'm tired and I take a nap because I don't have time, it's not the time for me to go to the classroom so I can take a nap, whatever I want. This is the freedom that we have in that type of job. I wake up and my room is dark because it's shut off. So it got to the point I was quite disturbed about it. And so I had to watch where they had put this sensor and where it was coming from. And I oriented my office chair and desk and everything so that I don't get much of the radiation. Because really what I'm doing is I'm sitting in there doing my work, but I'm being radiated on the whole time from something that will shut off. And I never stop turning my light off when I leave. I always shut it off. But they put something in there now to make me more sick because of the radiation to save a few bucks in by the department. So this is what's going on. We're saying that we're making life more manageable, more easier on us, but actually we're making ourselves more and more and more sick. So the material world is like that. The only way out is what Srila Prabhupada is directing us to do, so that we can get out. Krishna doesn't make us do all these things. We come up with these things trying to be lording it over material nature. We can do this, we can do this, we can do that. But in the end, we're making ourselves suffer more. The nine Yogindras, Nava Yogindras, sons of Maharaj Shabadi, we had 100 sons. But there were nine of them that were going around the material universes and preaching. They came upon Maharaj Nimi, who was doing the sacrifice, a nice yagya. And they came and they became part of it. Maharaj Nimi welcomed them nicely. There were nine of them, so he asked nine questions so that each one of them could answer one of these questions. It's in 11 cantos from Srimad Bhagavatam. And I pulled one of them out, chapter 2, text 49. Dehendriya prana mano divyam yo janma pyapya chud bhaya tasha krishche samsara dharme abhimudhya mana smitya hare bhagavata pradhan. Translation. Within the material world, one's material body is always subject to birth and decay. Similarly, the life air, prana, is also harassed by hunger and thirst. The mind is always anxious. The intelligence hankers for that which cannot be obtained. And all of the senses are ultimately exhausted by a constant struggle in the material nature. A person who is not bewildered by the inevitable miseries of the material existence and who remains aloof from them simply by remembering the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is to be considered Bhagavat Pradhan, the foremost devotee of the Lord. So, one of the Nava Yogindras, the nine Yogindras, breaks down this description of the material world and how to actually get out of it. Mentally, then finally, in a real sense, get out and go to the spiritual world. So, the material world, the material body, whatever body it is, a physical body, it gets born and also begins to decay. It grows for a while and then it starts going down. Then, he says, the life air, the one that carries the soul to its next existence, is harassed by hunger and thirst. That was a new one for me. The mind is anxious. We know that. The intelligence sometimes picks the mind. Oh, we going to get this? Can we want this? We want this. Sometimes things that can't not be obtained, we still want it anyway. And all of the senses, he's explaining, I think it's Karabajam. That's the one of the nine you're going to describe in this. Caravaggio. They are ultimately exhausted, the senses, by constant struggle in the material world. So that's what's going on. Now he says, a sober person, a dhira, a person who is not bewildered by these miseries of the material existence, and by remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead, automatically becomes aloof from them, is considered the foremost devotee of the Lord. So, in other words, the point he's making is, we have to understand the material world for what it is and the problems that it gives us. But we also have to, more importantly, remember the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And what's the easiest way? To chant the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hari Hari, Hari Rama Hari Rama, Ram Ram Hari Hari. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada brings some things that are very, very interesting. He puts the point out that according to Madhvacharya, Srila Madhvacharya, there are three classes of intelligent living beings. The intelligent living beings are divided into three. Demigods are one. Ordinary human beings who also have intelligence. And the demons also have intelligence. And so those are the three classes. So, a living being, he says, is endowed with all auspicious qualities. A highly advanced devotee of the earth, of the Lord, living on the earth, or even in the higher planetary systems, a highly advanced devotee of the Lord is called a deva or demigod. Ordinary human beings, they have good qualities, they have bad qualities, and according to this mixture, they enjoy or they suffer on the earth. That's for human beings, regular human beings, that is. Not advanced devotees. Advanced devotees are thinking like demigods. But those who are distinguished by the absence of good qualities, and they're always going against piety or pious life, or the devotion service to the Lord, they are called the asuras or demons. Now, of these three classes, the ordinary human beings and the demons are affected very much by birth, death, hunger, whereas godly persons are aloof from such bodily distress. So Srila Prabhupada explains that even human beings that have the whole consciousness of remaining Krishna conscious, taking our mind and taking it under the or service or giving service to the lotus feet of the Lord, the devotees, and Guru, we remain aloof from those kinds of distress. Even the human being, an intelligent human being, can be that way. The demigods are automatically that way because they know what's what. And other human beings are going through the results of their karma. And so, there's a text in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 20, Srila Prabhupada quotes, and I'll bring it up because it talks about, how, it brings up a very, very important point. So let me just read the Sanskrit first. Tri vidyamam soma pa puta papa, yagyai ispa swagatim, pratayante, te punyam asadya surende lokam, ashnanti divyan divi deva boga. This is a translation. Those who study the Vedas and drink the Soma juice, seeking the heavenly planet, worship me indirectly. They take birth on the planet of Indra when they enjoy good godly delights. But the next verse of the Bhagavad Gita says that when one uses up these pious activities, one has to forfeit the status as a demigod, along with the pleasure in the heavenly kingdom, and return to earth as Nara or ordinary human being. So the laws of nature, as Prabhupada is saying, they are so subtle that one may not even return to the earth as a human, depending on what they've done in the previous karma. They may take birth as an insect or a tree, depending on that particular configuration of that karma. But then when it comes to the pure devotee does not experience material misery because he has given up the bodily concept of life and then identifies himself correctly as who? An eternal servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's a long way of bringing to the point that the only way in which we're going to be happy and protected and prompted about how to go about life, even at the material level, is to always remember Krishna and serve the lotus feet of Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees, Guru and other devotees. So, The whole thing is we have to just be so tuned in to Krishna consciousness, to bhakti yoga, and outside of that, there's only more and more and more suffering. Srila Prabhupada says even when we're practicing just regulative practicing, we haven't developed that real love from our heart, but we are obeying the instructions for practicing bhakti yoga. Even doing that, it becomes joyful. Very joyful. So there are various kinds of services, as we know. But when we start with this regulated services and slowly it becomes a habit, then over time we begin to like what we're doing, and then we begin to love what we're doing. And since it's all ultimately offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then our Krishna prema also begins. We become very, very steady, and then our Krishna prema, that is the aim of everybody, begins now to slowly fructify, manifest. So, it is difficult in the material world. It will always remain difficult in the material world. Yanisha sava bhutanam tasyam jagati sanganyam yasyam jagati bhutani sanisha pasyatunme. But as night for all beings is a time of awakening for the self-controlled. And the time of awakening for all beings is night for the introspective sage, as Srila Prabhupada has commented. Therefore, this life has to be lived in such a way that we are actually aloof from it. The Lord is aloof from the material energy, but we are in the material energy. Mentally, we also have to be aloof from the material things that's going on. We should not be deceived by the things that are phantasmagoria, many things that are being produced, because that's going to go on and on and on and on. New things are going to come up. We all remember the abilities in the computer some years back, 10, 20 years ago. Now, they do different things. They're smaller, they do even more things. They said that's convenient. They said that makes our life better. Well, we use it for Krishna consciousness to the best of our abilities in Krishna consciousness, and that's all. That's all that matters. Everything else, if we just use it only for material things, then we are actually wasting our time. So indirectly what's being said is, whatever that's material, and see, Prabhupada said that too, the material world, yes, there is the problems that we face, but whatever that we come across, or whatever that comes into our possession, if we use it for serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we are definitely going to be happy. If we use it for serving the Lord, though, then we're going to be happy. Because many things that are difficult, the Lord will help us to stay aloof from them by good intelligence. And literally, slowly, we begin to realize that our lives are being handled so well by the Lord because we have put our minds and our everything in these bodies to serving. So the key is to keep serving and keep thinking and thinking about the Supreme Personality of God and chanting His holy name, and He does the rest. And He literally does the rest. And we'll see that we will move through this dangerous material world, the suffering condition, but it won't really affect us much. We see it, but it won't really affect us much. Even if it seems to be hitting us, there is something else underneath that Krishna actually makes it work so nicely. Sometimes problems come in the beginning, we don't understand why it's happening that way, but in the end, we'll see there is some benefit in it. And it's only for a person that is taking even the regulations of how to do bhakti, just by regulations, taking it seriously, that person will realize that. And then we'll be realizing that after that, you know, realize we're really, really, really well protected. Then we begin to be happy, okay, we are in a place where the current is really bad and it's going against us, but Krishna is handling the boat of salvation, literally. and we're going through this without much of a problem. We see things happen around us, but it doesn't affect us so much. We also see what the problems are, and the problems are reminders to us that this is not home. So then if we slowly and slowly begin to turn our attention fully to Krishna, we will grow more and more and more and more and more. Chipapa says, this bhakti is a gradual process. It's gradual because there's so many things that we're used to that have to go. Material things that we're used to that have to go. And so many new things that happen that we have to now handle them with the proper devotional attitude. We cannot live like commies anymore. We can't. If we live like commies, we're not going to go anywhere. Maya will actually take over our lives. So, of course, the whole idea is you chant your 16 rounds of japa, and you also obey the regulative principles. When we do that, then we are at the devotee platform. Chandramali Swami was explaining that earlier. 16 rounds is necessary, and obeying all four regulative principles. When you do that, then you can call yourself a devotee of the Lord. If we haven't come to that point, then what are we? Well, we are practicing to become a devotee. That is the situation. That's still good because you're shooting for a particular aim, but a devotee of the Lord is one who, at least by Switcher Master's order, is chanting not necessarily 64, but 16 rounds minimum, and also obeying all four regulative principles. Obeying all four regulative principles puts us at the human, intelligent human platform. Anything lower than that, then we're just teetering along, living like the lower animals. So it is very, very necessary, not only to drive away the sinful activities, but even the sinful desires that's in the heart, they also have to go. So that we are only fully, physically and mentally obeying all four regulatory principles. Some people have said it is, oh, it's so hard to do it. Well, there is so much that we gain from doing it. Peace here and also an opportunity to go back to Godhead. The price for it is so, so much greater that it is definitely worth putting in the effort. And as you well know, it's the effort that attracts the mercy. And so if we put in the effort with our regulated principles and our chanting, especially focused chanting, especially attentive chanting, then we have a very, very, very good chance to, even while we're here, be happy, and then later on, go on into the best situation, the situation of living in the spiritual world without any death, without any disease. Everything is supplied. The material energy makes you work for everything. You work for everything. Spiritual world is not. And if you have to work hard, then you are in a suffering condition. And that's the situation we're in. People think that when we gain whatever we work for, then that's good and it's worth working for it. But actually, it is a material energy that makes us work for it. And having to work for it alone, even having to work for it, is a suffering condition. And many people don't realize that. They think it's normal. No, Maya has made us think it's normal. We're not supposed to work for a living. And the spiritual world is not like that. But here we have to work for a living. And so that alone is a suffering condition. Not to mention old age and what the body does to people who eventually get old. And sometimes at any time, diseases are around us. And when we catch it, it brings its own, you know, flavor of suffering. So yes, the Lord has created this world, this phenomenal world, the material world. The Srila Prabhupada makes a point that we should not blame the Lord for creating this suffering condition. It's because we ourselves didn't go by what He wanted us to do in the spiritual world that we've been put here. Just like we cannot blame any government for setting up a prison, because they are criminals that have to be put away. So to get away from all of this, we should help each other. Help each other to take the process seriously. Counsel each other Our friends who are devotees, definitely very important to have devotee friends. Our best friends should be devotees. If you have a best friend that's not a devotee, you're in trouble. Your best friend should be a devotee. Your best friend should remind you about Krishna, because that's the most important thing in the world. So make sure that, you know, your best friend, the ones or best friends are devotees, because they will remind you about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and you yourself will be very comfortable talking about Krishna around them and doing Krishna activities around them. Non-devotees don't understand that, no matter how much in the mode of goodness that they are. Very important to have the ones that are closest to us as devotees. Of course, we cannot get away from relatives in the material family. We should definitely be grateful to parents because they brought us to this world. But the fact is, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we've come to Krishna consciousness. That's the best situation for us. And we understand now we are in this phenomenal world, which is the material world, and is a world of trouble. But the way out of it also has been pointed to us. And for that reason, we need to stay in the association of devotees and have our best friends be devotees so that we can go back to the spiritual world when that time comes. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you for listening to me going on in this material world. Actually, I hate it, but what to do? When you get old, you really feel it. Otherwise, you can unmute yourself if you want to have, you know, ask a question or you have a comment or some realizations that you'd like to share. Please do so. Hare Krishna. Yeah, it's very, 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 very important point. And Prahlad Maharaj says, if you want to be happy here in the material world, stop trying to be happy. Stop trying to be happy if you want to be happy in the material world. It seems like a contradictory, you know, part one statement, the part of it is contradictory. But actually it's not. Because if we try to be happy through the material way, we're going to be more frustrated. So if we pull away from trying to be happy in the material world, then there's not as much frustration that comes. When we endeavor to try to control things, then of course the anxiety also kicks in. The anxiety goes way, 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 way high. And so that's why Prahlad Maharaj says, if you want to be happy in the material world, stop trying to be happy. You will be automatically happy in the spiritual world. The soul is in bliss in the spiritual world. So we try to shoot for that, going back home and doing the things to go back home. Everything, we should be so greedy. And that's what Srila Prabhupada said. The price is to be greedy, to be involved in Krishna consciousness. That is the price. And everything then will be made available. Thank you, Mataji, but you really described it in a very succinct, a very nice way. And yeah, we are all practicing how to give up control and surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But that surrender, full surrender, the more we surrender, the happier we become. The more we surrender, the happier we become. Thank you very much for making the point. There is another level though. And the Avadhut Brahman actually showed that. There's another level. When we understand what this material world is and who is the real controller, and when we decide on our own, because Krishna doesn't push us, to submit to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it gets to a point that we become carefree. And it doesn't happen overnight, but it gets to a point where we become carefree. We're so convinced about Krishna's protection that we don't worry anymore. We don't worry anymore. Things would happen, but as soon as things happen, the intelligence kicks in and says, Krishna's going to handle it. Which is what? Krishna's going to handle it. Just keep going. You just keep going with the things that you do in your bhakti yoga, and Krishna's going to handle it. And that's what brings the internal happiness. Internal happiness finally comes in, because that surety that when it comes, the mind is totally 100% sure that everything is handled by Krishna, and I just have to keep going as a servant of a servant of a servant of the Lord and just watch Krishna do everything else. Then good things that happen, even if we categorize it as good things that happen, fine. We categorize some things that are challenging, that's still fine. Because in the end, you realize that the Lord's hand is in it the whole time. The Lord's hand is in it the whole time. So that is to be our very, very strong prayer, to remain submitted at the lotus feet of the Lord. We actually should, because the mind sometimes takes us to two different situations. So our prayer should be, let me still be at your lotus feet in all situations, in all situations. The world is full of happiness and distress, but when we are submitted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then everything that happens is controlled by Him, and because He loves us, then we learn lessons from even what the so-called reversals are, and then the rest of the time we are protected. It actually works that way. When we understand that, we'll be very carefree mentally. Hare Krishna. Yeah, I understand the question. In one sense, that's true. In one sense, that's true. Because a person that is surrendered will not worry. He would not worry. He really would not worry. So much so that if they were in a situation that they think death is coming, it's still going to hit them within a flash of a moment. If I die, I just have to be thinking about Krishna. And this whole world that gives me so much trouble, it's going to be over. It actually is true. It's just a question of we've been armed with the proper ammunition. It's just a question of when to pick it up. Pick it up in time. Just pick it up in time. Mentally, pick it up. And then you'll be fine. So yeah, in all situations, even on the job, our material jobs, whatever is happening, we have to use our intelligence to comb through one situation to another, go from one situation to another. But it always has to be preceding that, the prayer that the Lord handle everything that happens. When that prayer is put out sincerely, then our day will go according to the way Krishna will cause it to happen. The Pandavas went through so many reversals, but in the end, everybody else was dead and they were there. So that does not mean that the stress won't come. You're in the material world, yeah, it will come. There's no getting around it. It's part of the makeup of the material world. But how we handle it, the consciousness and the understanding that we surrender to the Lord, He's handling everything. That part, that's on us to do. And on us to help each other as devotees to have that consciousness. Hare Krishna. It's easier said than done. I'm not going to say it takes a while to actually get to that point of being more carefree. Hare Krishna. Any other comments or questions? Hare Krishna. It's interesting that you said thank you, Zoom. But you see, how did Zoom come about? How did Zoom come about? COVID-19. It was a disease that started this. But you see how Krishna's turned everything around, now devotees are actually able to benefit more even from preaching? It was a disease. It was total reversal for the whole planet. And now look at it. This is exactly what we're talking about, how Krishna can turn things around like that. So much so that there are people that we see on Zoom, hear from them, have a lecture, and we haven't even seen them in person yet. You should still work. That's covered in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna never allowed Arjuna to just sit and, he said, you have your shakta, you're trained, so you have your duty to do. But we have to understand, as we're doing, that we're doing for Krishna. We're doing for Krishna. It's all the mental state when we're doing things, even physically. The mental state is so important. The mental state, why we're doing it, and who we are doing it for ultimately. Sometimes you can do things directly for Krishna, which is called devotion service, and sometimes doing things indirectly, that's karma yoga, the things that we ourselves are doing, but we want to find a way to connected with Krishna consciousness. Sometimes we don't know the way. But there's also a way out of that. You pray about it because you just ask Krishna, how can I direct this into your service? And ideas will come. The ideas will come. And the more that you pray like that and you get the ideas, you get even more confidence, gain more confidence in what Krishna and the Super Soul is doing, because that's his department. Literally, if you pray like that, he helps you. He's with us. He literally is with us. Krishna is with us in the heart. So we just have to keep remembering this. That's why lecturing is so important. You have to remember this. It's easier than we tend to make it if we just let, you know, the Lord handle. By allowing him. His mercy. Oh, the example of a shadow. Yeah, that's the material world we're living in. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Guru and Gauranga. Any other final questions or comments? All right, dear devotees. So, Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sunibhya Evacha Chaitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namah Chirupada Ki Jai. Vaishnava Thakur Ki Hare Krishna Goshi Prabhupada Jai.